Hey, Lightning, have you heard?
No!
No.
The Truck Show. We're gonna show you what we know. We're gonna answer what the truck. Cause truck rides with the truck show. We have the lifted, we have the lowered, and everything in between. We'll talk about trucks that run on diesel and the ones that run on gasoline.
The truck show, the truck show, the truck show, whoa, whoa.
It's the truck show with your hosts, Lightning and Holman.
This episode of the Truck Show podcast, Have You Heard? Is proudly presented by Nissan with the Frontier, Titan, and Titan XD. Nissan has a truck for every need, along with the legendary Nissan durability. Test drive your next truck at a local Nissan dealer today, or point your browser to NissanUSA.com, where you can use the build and price tool to configure a Nissan truck that fits your lifestyle.
And when you're thinking about adding power or improving fuel economy, Banks has over 65 years of experience. Whether it's cold air intakes or exhaust systems, tuning, throttle control, charge air cooling, lubrication components, and much more, no one offers smarter, safer, 50-state emissions-compliant performance parts than Gale Banks. You'll find the best engineered parts for your truck at BanksPower.com.
And when you're looking for quality, full synthetic lubrication for your truck, AMSOIL has you covered with motor oil, lubricants and protectants, grease, additives, and more. AMSOIL synthetic lubricants deliver wear protection, engine cleanliness, and fuel efficiency that conventional oils simply can't match. Find out how AMSOIL synthetic lubricants can save you money and time by helping your vehicles run better and last longer than with conventional oils at AMSOIL.com. When it comes to lubrication, AMSOIL is the leader in synthetics. Hey, Lightning, have you heard?
No. I said no.
I do not think so. What you got?
According to Motor One, Hummer EV sales are up 83,300%.
Okay, so they sold zero to 800 and something now?
They sold two, wise guy.
Okay.
That was in Q1 of 2023. And for 2024 Q1, they sold 1,668.
It's not a good number.
Well, they ended 2023 with a total of 3,260.
What? Do you have any idea what their plan? Sounds like there's no way they're making money. That's insane.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're not making money off of those quite yet. But who knows? Remember, the Hummer EV has a massive 246 kilowatt hour battery pack and weighs nearly 9,000 pounds. So it's not exactly the world's most efficient EV.
We need to check in with my buddy Brian, who owns one. I've not been in it yet, but he stopped by Banks the other day and I was walking into a meeting. He's like, let's go to lunch. I go, what? I did walk around. I opened all the doors, the trunk, the whatnot, but I had to go in. The frunk, yeah, whatever. No, we opened every hatch and it looked really, really cool.
Oh, they are cool.
But I was dying to, so I'm going to take a spin, but I think we need to get some real world experience.
I just got an invite to drive it, the SUV version in Moab, and I'm busy that week. So I won't get a chance to get behind the wheel.
Brian has he's a real estate agent, and I think he's got an office in this area as well.
Cool.
So should we take him out to get some drinks, and then that'll be our take it for a drive?
All right, I'm in.
Okay.
Hey, Lightning, have you heard?
No!
No.
The fuel economy ratings dropped for the brand new Ram featuring the new twin turbo straight six.
The Hurricane.
And those with the high output straight six actually get worse fuel economy than the outgoing V8.
No.
Yeah.
What? How? Why? That doesn't make any sense. I thought this was all about fuel economy and emissions and everything else.
Yeah, right?
And so, it's not... Wait, what?
So the high output version of the Hurricane is going to have the worst fuel economy, but that has 540 horsepower and 521 pound-feet of torque. It returns 15 miles per gallon city, 21 miles per gallon highway. That's only 17 combined, whereas the old 5.7 liter Hemi was 18 city, 22 highway, and 19 combined. That's a pretty big difference considering all the drum beating about how obsolete V8s are.
So
obviously a lot more power.
Yeah.
Smoother.
Lighter.
Just,
I mean, at the end of the day, they're just dumping fuel in to make the power.
Well, it also requires 91 octane.
Hmm.
So it's more powerful because the V8 was 395 horsepower and 410. So, and this is the high output version. Now, when you look at the standard output version of the Hurricane, it's barely beating the V8. EPA rating on that one is a 17 city, 24 highway, and 19 combined. So it makes it better than the V8 on the highway cycle, but it's worse around town. So the combined rating is the same. So if you pay attention to what the EPA's calculations say, the new standard output 6 will save $2,000 in fuel costs over 5 years compared to the V8. Still being more powerful, the standard output is 420, 469.
Everyone's going to, enthusiasts are going to want the 500 horsepower version.
Well, it'll cost you $3,500 bucks more in fuel over 5 years than the old V8.
Yeah, I don't think people care.
That's a lot. That's a big difference.
No, it is in money, but I think those enthusiasts won't care.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not going to have a choice. It's not like you can choose the V8. If they had them side by side for a little while, you'd probably go, I'll take the V8. Rather have V8 anyway, right? Yeah. But there is no choice. It's one or version one or version two of the same straight six. Now, twin turbo straight sixes are rad. But that's one rung below V8 radness.
No, because they don't sound good.
Are you kidding me?
The twin turbo straight six?
Hell yeah.
Does it?
Yes. You're thinking about a V6. V6s are the ones that sound awful. Oh. A straight six sounds badass.
Well, but hold
Supras,
on. It's still
two JZs, BMW M's.
The exhaust is still going through the turbo, so it doesn't sound as good as like a big, naturally aspirated or supercharged V8 or something. Okay, but point taken. It sounds better than, you're right. The V6 is the one that sounds ridiculous.
Lightning, have you heard? Clearly not a straight six exhaust.
Oh, hell no.
No, I have not heard.
NHTSA is now investigating 188,000 2022 Ram HD trucks.
Investigating them for what reason? NHTSA, so that's a safety issue.
Right. After receiving 82 complaints, the agency is looking to a problem with what they're calling the K1 snap ring within the Eisen 6-speed automatic, and that would be on the high-output versions of the 22 Ram 3500 pickups, as well as the 3500, 4500, 5500 chassis cabs. And it sounds like the FCA is already aware of the issue. There's a bulletin out, TSB-21-002-23. According to 16 owners, the trucks completely lost power at speeds above 25 miles per hour, and they could not resume normal operation after the snap ring failure. If it fails, it may become dislodged, rendering first through fourth gear entirely bad order, BO, inoperable.
Well, yeah.
FCA says fifth and reverse will remain unaffected, but that doesn't really help if you can't move the truck. I guess you can drive backwards for a while.
So most recalls appear to be happening on newer vehicles, right? Last year, a couple years. But
yeah, COVID cars.
The ones that people are really screaming about are all of the grid heater bolt failure issues on the 6.7s, 07 to
current. Well, those are just
current,
starting to really kind of come out and make noise.
I talked to a woman that I hope to have on the show today. She's a diesel mechanic, mm-hmm. owns FTM Diesel and Off-Road. Up in a city I've never heard of in Northern California, about 2 hours north of San Francisco. Super awesome. I can't wait to have her on the show. Owns her own shop. Super rad. I found her on social media. She's like, I found one, guys. It happened to me. Like, this is not one in a million. And like we found it. We had a grid heater bolt failure in my shop. She was just one of those many that said, like, this is happening to like one in several thousand people. She's like, if I got one in my shop,
It's happening a lot. And for clarification, there's no recall on the trans issue, but it is under investigation at the moment.
I see.
Hey, Lightning, did you hear?
Yes, 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 yes. No.
Our friends at TFL Truck have a story up about the first new Tesla Cybertruck auction. And bids went up to $158,000.
Now, wait a minute. Is there still that penalty that you have to pay if you flip the truck? Because I heard there was a $50,000 penalty that Tesla was going to try and swoop up from you.
Yeah, I don't know if they have something that you have signed or not, but the bidding went up to over $150,000 and no sale was made. The owner had a dual motor all-wheel drive foundation series. There's less than 100 miles on it, and it was purchased in March of 24, so just last month. So that's super brand new. Oh, yeah, you're right. It's a $50,000 fine and a lifetime new Tesla purchase ban for Cybertruck flippers if you flip it within the first year of ownership, according to this story. And the dual motor all-wheel drive Foundation Series will cost you around $99,990 plus taxes. So the owner would only break even if he let it go at $50,000. So, for example, the first 2022 GMC Hummer EV that sold at Cars and Biz was $235,000. So,
I think
twice the $110,000.
I mean, we saw that crazy one at Cars and Biz, but I think it was because the first one that went to auction, like publicly. And I think there are people that are predicting that it's the bottom's falling out of that already. The early adopter thing on the Cybertruck is already like on the decline. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think money's expensive and there's not as much free-flowing cash as there was when people were just spending frivolously for
well, no, I just think that we've all seen them on transporter trucks now. We've seen them in videos. Maybe there's one in your town and you've seen it rolling around the street. I just saw one for the first time ever driving down in front of Banks the other day. I don't know what he was doing, where, why he was on our street, but we all went to the window. We're like, that's a Cybertruck. It's driving. Haven't seen one before. But I think as soon as that passes, it's going to be rough sailing for that truck.
Hey, Lightning, have you heard?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
So there are more and more rumors about Nissan potentially having a Ford Maverick rivaling truck. And it could be a hybrid or an EV, but it could also be sold as a Mitsubishi because it sounds like Nissan and Mitsubishi are planning a tie-up that would allow them to co-develop a truck for the U.S. market. So there may be yet another Nissan pickup in the lineup.
I can't hate on Mitsubishi. They used to make the little Mighty Max, right? And I have a question for you.
Okay.
All of a sudden, people are saying tie-up. Not just you, other people. I for the last like 15 years, we called it a collaboration or a collab. And now they're calling it a tie-up.
No, what?
What do you mean, no? It was a collaboration.
Collab is something that's come up by influencers in the last 5 years. Nobody calls it a collab.
No,
tie-up was used way before collab.
No way.
Yes.
No, collabs has been around since like urban, like urban wear.
No, you're...
It was like, yo, it's like Hermes.
You're being Lightning right now.
And Supreme got together. It's a collab.
Are you like one of those people who talks through a movie? In a movie theater?
No.
Like, hey, stop being a Lightning! Down in front!
What are you talking about?
It just seemed like I...
No, are you kidding me? I hate when people talk in movies.
Okay, so the truck was confirmed last week by Nissan CEO Makoto Uchida in a presentation of Nissan's midterm business strategy. And according to Automotive News, Nissan and Mitsubishi will split development of this smaller next-generation pickup, and it'll be manufactured in Mexico. That would let the truck avoid the U.S. chicken tax, which is the 25% tax on trucks, and then also provide access to Latin America. So it sounds like both PHEV and full EV are in consideration, but there hasn't been a firm decision, so we will keep our tabs on that. Could be another cool little Nissan. Hopefully they design it and it's rad like the Frontier.
Bring it.
Hey, Lightning, did you hear?
No.
Mm-mm. So remember, speaking of Nissan and small pickups, we talked about maybe Nissan was going to swoop in and save Fisker?
Yes, although I kind of hope that doesn't happen, but is it?
Well, apparently, according to paperwork that got filed with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, Fisker was not able to strike a deal with any potential suitors. And the quote-unquote large automaker that was involved in the initial talks, quote-unquote, terminated the negotiations, end quote. And so Fisker was rumored to have been in discussions with up to five automakers, and Nissan being one of them. And according to an earlier report from Reuters, Nissan's biggest interest was the electric Alaska pickup because it would have given them easy entry, and it's a great-looking truck, and the chassis sounds great. And it would have needed $400 million toward production of the truck at one of Fisker's U.S. plants. So that's a lot of cheddar.
I mean, how many times is Fisker going to get financed? I mean, it's got to end at some point.
I think we're seeing the decline right now. Be interesting to see if anybody swoops in. I mean, you got to have, I mean, they got actual products and a plant. Things are coming out. I've seen them on the road. So
you
like,
do,
that's
but like,
better.
Do you want to be the like?
No, I don't want any vehicle.
You know what I'm saying? Like, your mate has been married six times.
Yeah. But
and
not,
you're
not
like,
even
ah,
that.
That's just damaged goods
no,
at that point.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about buying even a Rivian and like, is the company going to be here in 5 years? Where do I get service? Where do I get care? At least the Cybertruck, you know, Tesla has been around for a while. And if you buy a regular, you know, mainstream manufacturer, they obviously are going to be backing it for a while. But
sure.
You get any of these startups, man, that makes me nervous long term. And Fisker, there's a big report about them where they came out saying that they didn't know where their money was and they mismanaged stuff. And, oh, geez, it sounds like a kind of a mess over there, which is a bummer because I think they had some pretty cool designs. But as of right now, I'm not so sure it's got a very bright future. I hope they surprise us because they do have some cool products.
I mean, how many times is a startup allowed to be a startup? You know what I mean? If you were starting a computer software company, you're a startup in the very beginning. You get funding, seed money, angel investing, whatever. And then you hopefully get to market. And then, oh, you screwed up. So then you go back to your startup phase again. You rally and you get more investing. How many times can you do that? That's what Fisker's been doing.
All of them.
It's a startup, then a startup, then a startup.
All of them.
Okay.
Hey, Lightning, have you heard?
No.
Nope.
Ford's cutting more jobs at the F-150 Lightning plant in Dearborn, Michigan as EV sales are slowing.
Oh, so, you don't say.
Yeah. So they will drastically cut the number of hourly workers at the factory that builds the Ford F-150 Lightning. Seems like EV sales are growing in the U.S., but at a pace that's well short of what the ambitious timetable was, as consumers are really looking at hybrid vehicles, as proven by the Rad Prius. Yes, I said it, Rad Prius. So Ford sold 24,000 Lightnings last year. It was up 55% from 2022. But dealers are reporting a lot slower sales and rising inventories. They had the same thing with the Mach-E. Have you seen the massive discounts on those? And finally, they're getting moved. So I think it's the pricing is the biggest barrier. And then the charging at home, and then the charging network, and then the infrastructure, and then is it my third car? Does it work for me? A lot of stuff going on over an EV. A lot of
negatives, very few positives. Yeah.
Of the 2,100 workers that make up the three shifts at the Dearborn facility, only a third will remain. 700 workers will be transferred to the Michigan assembly plant in Wayne that builds the Bronco and Ranger. The remaining 700 workers will either take an early retirement package offered during last year's contracts or will take a reassignment in Southeast Michigan. Ford is adding a third crew at the Michigan assembly plant, according to the Detroit Free Press. So
our microphones were there when the CEO said,
"All right, you guys, love you, mean it.
Yeah,
bye."
Sure, they were.
To lots of former employees.
Hey, Lightning, have you heard?
No, I don't believe so. Tell me.
So we just did that episode where we got a chance to ride in the Silverado EV.
Yep.
And apparently there's going to be a new trim release called the 3WT. So that's one step down in the work truck lineup from the 4WT that I think is the version that we were in that was priced at $79,900. So the 3WT brings the price down to $74,900, but output from the dual motor is now 510 horsepower and 600 pound-feet, which is 15 horsepower less than the 4WT. And driving range is estimated to only be 393 miles on the charge compared to the 450 of the 4WT. But the 3LT's payload capacity is now rated at 350 pounds more at 1,750. And towing bumps up to 12,500 pounds, which is 2,500 pounds more than the pricier 3WT. What that tells me is they took out some batteries and they got back some payload and towing ability.
I think that that is a dud of a truck. I think that in 2 years, that truck's gone. It's not on the market.
I think it's
anymore.
Just not a fleet truck for a lot of reasons.
I think it's just...
There's some weird decisions like no midgate on the work truck trim and the fact that the bed can't take all your normal Silverado accessories and things like that. I could see it being a popular, you know, EV full-size pickup, but as a work truck, I'm not sold.
Nope. I'm telling you, 2 years, I'm not going to hear about that truck anymore.
So according to Chevy, there's still one or two more WT trims on the way. I would assume the 1WT and the 2WT. And it will have a fleet-focused max trailering package that will increase towing to a full 20,000 pounds.
That's pretty hefty.
Yeah.
That's good.
Is it enough for you to go grab a EV truck? Probably not.
Nope.
Hey, Lightning, have you heard?
No.
So apparently Texas is refusing to register those Japanese Ki trucks. And the owners are having enough. So it's one of the multiple states that have put up roadblocks to getting the 25-year-old imports of these little micro pickups. So if you remember, we covered with our friend Andy Lilienthal some of the key car issues from the New England area. And so now, according to the Autopian, While Texas hasn't been as aggressive as Maine and Rhode Island, but it has denied a number of people trying to register legal imports. So it's going to be interesting. It says
this is for street use, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And the piece notes that these denials have increased, though they've been occasionally argued for years based on some confusion between late model low speed mini trucks and older imported Japanese examples, for the same reason as the New England examples. So policy recommendations from the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators. So it seems like there's some confusion between those low-speed vehicles, like golf carts that are allowed on 35-mile-an-hour streets and slower, and the street-legal full 25-year-old gray market imports. But it seems like the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators, AAMVA, is an organization publishing recommendations that says these small, key-size vehicles should not be granted registration because they are unsafe despite these federal exemptions. But of course, those recommendations seem to ignore that even older and more dangerous vehicles, including motorcycles and antique cars, can still be legally registered. So the Utopian goes on to highlight that a group called the Texas Key Truck Advocates is working to make it so that these vehicles can be easily and legally registered. So apparently they're working with Texas lawmakers and the Texas DMV to review the rulemaking. But I think that's a good point. I think that you would see those go, oh, that looks unsafe. But then there's a dude driving a Model T with historical plates. Well, that's got to be way unsafe if something bad happens, right?
Yeah, but again, it's grandfathered in, and you wouldn't approve a Model T today. Although they still approve motorcycles, which is it's super weird because there's nothing more dangerous than... I love motorcycles.
Yeah.
I'm a two-wheel freak, dude.
You ran from the police on motorcycles
and if I didn't
on occasion.
What are you talking about? I do not know what you're talking about. What are you saying?
I'm just saying that you're an outlaw.
I did not. What?
Harumph.
I don't recall that at all.
I recall that story many times. Hey, Lightning, have you heard?
9999999
I know you like patents, so Ford has patented yet another weird bed thing, and this is...
Tell me more.
A bed rack with stowaway rails.
A bed rack? Oh.
So that's kind of smart.
That is really cool.
So basically the rails rise out from...
They go vertical.
They go vertical, and they have like where your steak pockets would be is the pillars for them, and they can go up to cab height and then go flush back to the bed.
Dude, that's really creative.
That's
another one where you go, why didn't anyone do that? That's insane.
Those exist, right? But they exist as a rack that you have to bolt onto the bed. These rise out of the bedsides.
What the f***?
I'm telling
you. What?
Right?
How has no one done that?
So, anyway.
You could automate those. I can imagine those being motorized.
Totally.
You push a button, they rise straight out of the pockets and go like.
Look at all the things that Ford has. They have like a halo with crossbars. They have a way for you to tie down like a big filing cabinet.
That's blowing my mind. Who did this again?
You said Ford. Yeah.
What?
I know.
What? That's crazy. Well, it's 2024. No one's done that until now?
Dude, I'm telling you, it's super weird. So anyway, the Ford patent details a cargo management system for F-150 trucks that can weigh and load cargo efficiently but still has aerodynamic features. They're actuated with arms from within the truck bed that assist in loading heavy items, securing cargo with a retractable net, and creating aero features for smoother airflow. It just seems like something that
you talk about like the biggest no-brainer in the history of no-brainers.
I'm looking at this going, how has this never been thought of before?
It's so obvious when you see that.
So if you're looking for more information, the applicant Ford Global Technologies LLC.
Don't give us the 80-digit U.S. patent number.
11-932-311-B2 if you want to see the drawings and read about the patent. We have a few listeners who I know love that kind of stuff. And it's just dumb. It's so dumb, it's brilliant.
Well, how's it dumb? There's nothing dumb about
that. Yeah, because nobody thought about it before.
Well, that's dumb.
We're all dumb. Hey, Lightning, did you hear?
Nope, I have not. Clearly.
So Ford is offering a carbon fiber bodywork package for the Bronco Raptor. It's available via Ford Performance, and you can find it on their online store. And there's been a similar range of accessories for the F-150. This kit for the Bronco is compatible with all 22 and newer Bronco Raptors with the factory tailgate panel. And it consists of a vented hood, fender vents, fender flares, and the aforementioned tailgate panel. And then they will complement the Bronco Raptor's interior carbon trim. They look pretty cool.
Any mention of price?
says the set is available in both gloss and matte finishes and comes with all the fasteners and materials necessary for installation. If you don't want the entire kit, you'll be able to buy the pieces individually. What do you think the entire kit costs?
$7,000.
$7,000.
No way. Is that true?
Nope, that's not true at all.
Oh, damn.
The entire kit is $13,295.
Damn. That's real carbon fiber.
Yeah, it is.
Now, that tells me that somebody is manufacturing it for them. Quantity is low. That's why it's expensive.
Yeah.
I wonder who's making it for them, if it's someone we know.
It could be.
Is it, I wonder if they've teamed up with APG. Aren't they out of Southern California? They make those really cool kits.
They are local to us. I have no idea who their supplier is, but could be something cool. All right. And in final news for this segment of Have You Heard? Lighting, have you heard?
No.
Remember we were talking about the $13,000 Hilux Champ that was the Lego-looking Toyota cheap pickup truck?
Yes.
And you were like, that's freaking amazing?
Yes.
So there has been
Is it on sale? Not on sale yet,
no,
is
you
it?
Can't get it here.
Oh.
Can't get it here at all.
Damn it.
But there's some stories that have said that perhaps the small Land Cruiser FJ could potentially ride on that chassis.
But it's how? It's micro. It's tiny.
So is the small FJ concept.
Is it really?
Is that small? But it doesn't seem like it'd be great off-road. Like, I think it would be like an urban, we just want to drive it around town and look Land Cruiser-ish.
Yeah.
So who knows?
It's like a Land Cruiser golf cart.
Maybe better. I don't know. I'm just, the styling is interesting. I'm like kind of.
Spin it this way. What does it look like? Am I interested?
We don't know what it looks like.
Oh,
it's not out yet.
Oh. So
no, there's just a bunch of renderings that are out there and stuff.
Yeah,
like that,
no.
It's like a Jeep Renegade, but Toyota. Yeah,
that's leaves this reviewer cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much like this show. So, hey, Lightning, have you heard?
What? No.
No.
It's time to put this one to bed.
What you talking about, Willis?
The Truck Show Podcast is a production of Truck Famous LLC. This podcast was created by Sean Holman and Jay Tillis with production elements by DJ Omar Khan. If you like what you've heard, please open your Apple Podcast or Spotify app and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're a fan, there's no better way to show your support than by patronizing our sponsors. Some vehicles may have been harmed during the making of this podcast.